This is H. Avenger, and you're listening to Horus the Avenger's Follow the White Rabbit exclusive property, WhiteRabbitRadio.net. And I believe this is Follow the White Rabbit 83. And we have a special guest on. He's one of the Bugsers. He goes way back, and he is War on Whites, or it's actually War O Whites on Twitter. He is Asgardian as well, but his Twitter hashtag is at War O Whites. And he's an interesting character. Asgardian, are you here?
Hey, Horace, what's going on, man? Thanks for having me.
We're doing okay. When did you start hosting
This is funny. It's a funny thing. I was listening to the news a couple years back, and they talked about a white minority on the news. That was a bad move for them. I began to Google it, and I stumbled onto your website when I was in the gym, and I began listening to your podcast while I worked out. And it made a lot of sense. I knew something was wrong from a young age, going back to the TVs when the white male was always portrayed as a bad guy, and I was uncomfortable with it, and I didn't like it, and I didn't know why it was like that. All these different people coming in telling people that looked, sounded, and acted like me, they were wrong, they were bad, they were being held responsible for things they didn't do.
You're racist.
Your podcast up. Well, that's huge, racist. And speaking of racist, let's have a moment of silence for that weaponized hate word. May it burn in hell. At that point when I listened to your podcast, it clarified things for me. And then I stumbled on the Bugs. I was never a member of Stormfront. I didn't really get into being pro-white until the anti-whites created me. That's what happened. And then I found you. I listened to your podcast. I stumbled on the Bugs. And I hit the ground running, and I haven't stopped since.
Ah, I thought you came to White Rabbit Radio from the Swarm, but you came to the Swarm from White Rabbit Radio. Okay, you're one of those, because there's a 50-50 proposition. Some can go either way. Okay, so you found White Rabbit Radio through a little Google search.
Yes, sir.
Yes, most pro-whites become pro-whites because of anti-whites. That's an interesting fact. Without anti-whites, yeah, there'd be no pro-whites. You'd just be living in a normal society, so it's kind of funny.
Yeah, with, you know, white normal people hanging out, having fun, you know, colonizing space.
What did you so basically you started listening to Follow the White Rabbit number one, and I'm guessing you started using
I started at the top, and I've listened to every podcast since.
And you started using things like when called a racist, you're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racism is just a code word for anti-white.
Yes, sir. You know, I picked up on a lot of that, and what really grabbed me about your podcast were the way you were able to articulate our position and break it down for people that understood that something was wrong, but they didn't know how to go about it. They didn't know how to say it. You know, people would use racial slurs. What we have to say, like you said, is 10 times more violent than any racial slur that they could ever conjure. And when it was broken down for me like that and articulated in that fashion, I was really able to absorb it and spit it back out at them.
Yeah. Well, most people think our enemy did something incredibly magical or hard. They didn't. In fact, our enemy never said, you know, a lot of pro-whites do this, we got to go around awakening people. Our enemy never said, you know, we got to awaken people to racism. We got to awaken them to anti-Semitism. But they, you know, the anti-whites never once, you never heard them talk about awakening people to racism. No, they just start calling everyone a racist.
Yeah, what they did was they did what a third grader does. They called names.
There you go.
That was it. It's very simple. It's
basic psychological warfare.
And that's the thing a lot of people don't understand. I want to touch on online activism real quick, if you don't mind.
Sure.
When we're online, whether it be Twitter or somewhere else, we're not trying to convince the anti-white. We're trying to expose them to for normal white people, to show them that these people are batshit crazy. They want you gone. When someone's calling you names meant to get you in trouble at work or fired, physically abused, or have legal troubles, you're at war. You want to knock them, you want to bring them to their knees. You have to, the internet, it's our opening, like you said before. We have a lot of power on the internet, and this is all a show. We're trying to convince normal white people, and the internet is our stage.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything except expose them for what they are. You don't have to win the debates or arguments. In fact, our side has never lost a debate or argument, but we don't have any power on any college campus in Western civilization, period.
No,
obviously it has nothing to do with debate. It has to do with the basics of what I call psychological warfare, which is what we've been under, and that's kind of what our terminology is. Well, it is what our Bob Whitaker stuff is designed to roll back. You know, our enemy crosses that line all the time, and with the phenomenon backed by propaganda and the constant name calling for those that speak out against it, or anyone white listening that stands up for themselves against any of these anti-white thugs is always called the same set of words. Racist, although not so much anymore. You're called Nazi. You're called Klansman. You're called hater. White supremacist. It's only a handful, but that's it. And they'll rotate them around. But, these are done to shut you up, to make you compliant.
Yeah, they're weaponized words meant to shut you up with harsh penalties. I mean, who wants to be called an anti-Semite at work? Raise your hand. You know what I mean? Oh, my God. You know, that's like a hellfire and brimstone for your average white person. Next thing you know, they're saying, I'm not racist, but it's over when you say that. It's done. You don't say I'm not racist, but you say the only reason you're calling me a racist is because I'm white. Anti-racist is just a code word for anti-white. And these people, a lot of their arguments are built on contradictions, excuse me. For example, on Twitter the other day I was told, resistance is futile, you will all be assimilated. Two tweets prior to that, he said, but we're all the same. How can that be possible?
Yeah, there's nothing to assimilate if we're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's, you know, well,
if there's no such thing, as race, if we're all the same, we don't need diversity, you know.
And the best is these people tell me, you need to go to college and educate yourself. I've come to the conclusion, since I've become pro-white, that college education and IQ, there is no correlation between the two whatsoever.
No.
At all. My God.
Well, there's no education at college. That's the problem.
No, you know what? And you're right. I mean, the basics have gone out the window, like things that you need to do in life to succeed, like time management and basic housekeeping skills. That's all gone. It's all gone. It's all about, social equality and... how the white guy that said, where are all these Mexicans coming from is a Nazi that wants to kill 6 million Jews, you know?
Hmm. Yeah. What do you think about, Bob has coined it, the March Against White Genocide on March 21st. What do you think about it? What was your first impression?
Well, I think it's awesome. I mean, if you can't donate, if you don't have the cash, we get it. Things are tight right now. They've been tight for a long time. If you can't donate, there's tons of other things you could do. The main thing you can do, if you're not on Twitter and you're listening, get on Twitter, follow Horace, follow myself, follow the lead, follow the white rabbit, and get white genocide trending on Twitter.
And for those of you who don't know, that the hashtag white genocide, it would just be a hashtag, looks like the number sign, white genocide, and hashtag anti-white are a big deal. We pro-whites have been able to get things trending in the past year and a half, and many believe certain parties in the establishment are very concerned that we might be able one morning to trend things at will.
Terrifying.
Which would be extremely powerful. Just cook up a phrase, anti-whites or so-and-so, and just let it trend, get it trending. White genocide, stop white genocide, get white genocide trending, but be able to make coins and or memes trend at will. That is the concern. That is a concern right now. Do I think they would shut us down? Yes. They would probably think up some type of back doorway, because that's what they're concerned about. They're not concerned that we can get things trending. They know we can. They know we can because of what happened at the White Man March, what happened with all these other things. We've presented ourselves as clever enough. The anti-whites will bite, and they love biting. In fact, I remember reading an anti-white, if you just do hashtag white genocide, look at what they're saying, or just, you can also do a search, a separate search for just white genocide on Twitter, and you can get both. You can see the whole entire spectrum of what's going on.
It's hysterical.
It is hysterical, but many of the anti-whites want to get it trending as well. See, that's the thing. They don't understand, as the great Beefcake put it, they don't understand Grey Goo. They don't understand this stuff at all. And if you guys want to see something funny, you might have heard your neighbor say, I'm not a racist, but, or you might heard someone say, I'm not a racist, but. Look up anti-white. You'll see people say, I'm not anti-white, but.
I did that at work. Somebody made an anti-white statement. I said, wow, that's pretty anti-white of you. He's like, I'm not anti-white. That was an anti-white statement. What don't you understand about that? And
yes,
another guy at work agreed with me, you know, and
this stuff, it doesn't, just, once, you know, if you've been sitting in a civilization, which Western civilization for the past century, racism has only existed in white people's homes, white people's churches, white people's schools. I mean, this racism phenomenon that they've been talking about isn't going on in the moon or Mars or China or Mexico. It's going on in white countries, only white countries, all white countries. And that's where this stuff's been going on. They're not charging, you know, space lizards with the phrase alien, with the phrase racism. They're charging white people with it all day long, yelling racism. In fact, where would the 20th century be without the word racism?
No, yeah, you're right.
There's no such thing as the 20th century, basically, as we know it. But you can't turn around and say in 2015 that, well, anti-racism is not a code word for anti-white. Well, it is. Anti-whites,
it is.
Everything is the anti-white narrative.
Yes, yeah, since when is an anti-racist telling 50-plus black nations that they're too black and that they need more diversity?
Or as I say, name one anti-racist organization that chases non-whites around over racism.
Never.
Yeah, crickets.
Never.
Crickets.
Never. It's the sound of silence.
Yeah, the SPLC doesn't camp out in China, and they never will.
No, because you know what China would tell them.
Yeah, exactly.
And here's another thing. Our youth. MTV had a poll called Look Different, a little program, and it said that white millennials believed that, and they use the word racism against whites, is just as prevalent, if not more so, for whites than it is for non-whites. Now, I know they use the word racism, but that's pretty big. That was not the response that MTV was looking for. And that Look Different campaign, after that, kind of went dark.
Well, they see everything as anti-white. The anti-white is not a term. Some people think Bob Whitaker came up with the term anti-white. No, he did not. It's a century old. It hasn't been used by places like the New York Times, let's say, since the late 60s. We simply reseeded it with the phrase anti-racism is a code word for anti-white to roll back the word racism. In other words, the world we want to create is the world based on reality. And in reality right now, there's pro-whites versus anti-white. Why? Because you're at warfare. Why are you at warfare? When someone's calling you names, when you have a massive phenomenon of non-white immigration, forced integration, forced assimilation, backed by massive propaganda supporting it, we have something big going on. It isn't just America. It's all over in every white country and only white country. So it's a big thing to get your head around, but we have to go back to the basics. We have to go back to the, in a war, it doesn't matter whether it's a war just based on propaganda like it is now in psychological warfare, some would label it. I would. In a particular war, you've got two sides. That's it.
It sounds funny, it's cliche, but you're either with us or you're against us. And speaking on the components of genocide, people have been asking me, where is the intent of genocide? Well, here it is. Politicians know what's going to happen if you flood white countries and only white countries with millions of non-whites. When you do that, it shows they have this information, it's a public secret, that majority white countries, most of them, will be a minority before or by 2050, roughly. When that happens, and they continue to do it, if they know that what something is going to lead to, that's with intent. If you have knowledge of something and you continue to course.
Let's even simplify it. When Wesley Clark was the head of NATO over in Europe prior to the bombing of the Serbs, he said there's no room for an ethically pure state in Europe. What's his intent?
No one says that.
and his future, and the future of Europe is in North Africa. What's his intent? He says, we have decided the future
who's
of Europe
we?
Is in North
you know
Africa.
What I mean?
Yeah. Like, who's we? What else could his intent be? What could his intent be? Could his intent be to make them Martians? No. Is his intent to move Europe to the moon? No. What's his intent? What is Sarkozy's attempt when he's talking about...
Oh, well,
about
Sarkozy, I mean, that was... Like
what's
you
his
said,
intent?
That violated
well,
a couple
what's
of human
intent?
Rights.
Right, right. It, you know. I'm surprised the non-whites, because they have to cooperate with this, too. And not all of them are that into this type of thing. They're
no,
just coming,
you know, like some if you remember Muhammad coming, Ali... That,
some
Muhammad
of them are just
Ali
coming that. To France to take advantage of the social welfare system. They're not coming to France to be forced into relationships.
No. You know, like Muhammad Ali said, he's like, I don't want to... Why would you want to mix races? You know, a lot of non-whites are not okay with this. They're very proud of who they are, and they should be. But what Sarkozy doesn't understand is not everyone's down with that. They're not cool with it.
Well, he,
you know,
doesn't
that,
plan
that was,
on offering. He doesn't plan on offering anyone a choice. The point no. is that we're going back to intent. What is the intent of someone that's ahead of NATO making this announcement prior to bombing the Bosnian Serbs? His intent is not anything other than genocidal.
No. None whatsoever. I mean, are whites going to get reservations? Absolutely not. That's not going to happen.
You said there's no room for ethnically pure states. And you know, it's like the anti-white proposition. There could be no all-white countries anywhere, and there could be no all-white areas in the formerly all-white countries.
No, and you know, when they talk about genocide, you get a lot of people that are not familiar with the definition of genocide. And when you point it out to them, when you break it down and you show them the actual definition, I'm going to use your words, they don't know whether to shit or go blind. Because it's a total drop on their head. They had absolutely no idea that genocide can be conceived and interpreted in many different ways due to the law. The law was written specifically for people that said, "Oh, look, no one's getting killed." No. That's not the way it works. Conditions of life calculated meant to reduce any racial, ethnic, or religious group in whole or in part.
Oh, they know.
Just because you don't kill people,
just
because you don't murder people in mass, doesn't mean it's not genocide.
Yeah, forced. By the way, forced assimilation, this concept of forced assimilation and forced integration, always gets called genocide. It's just their mum on it regarding white communities.
Yeah, they call it diversity for whites.
Yeah, they can't have it both ways. No. I don't personally think. I think personally, and I've been thinking this for quite some time. It's in failure mode. I'm not worried about how it's going to work. I'm worried about how it's going to fail right now, because everything's running
knee jerk reactions.
Right. Everything's running to the ground. It's not going to continue forever. Some people think it is the dissidents, and there was a lot of dissidents in the Soviet Union. Famous dissidents that thought the Soviet Union would go on forever, and one morning it just didn't, and we're in that phase.
My concern is our people, white people. We can keep a system like this going for a very long time when you're in a consensus trance.
Yeah.
We're so capable of persevering. We push through a lot of nonsense that we don't even realize that we're pushing through. And you just keep going, you keep paying taxes, you keep doing this, you keep doing that, and you're carrying the burden, and you don't even realize it. You're like, it's just life, clock, you know, punch the clock, go to work, come home, take care of the wife and the kids. And that's what concerns me. Our people are so resilient. I mean, we are. I mean, we're still here after the world's worst kept conspiracy, and we're still here, and we're still thriving, actually. We're thriving based on the conditions that we're functioning under, in my opinion. And that's one of my big concerns. Our people are so resilient and tough that they can continue, and this system will thrive because of their resiliency.
Yeah, but even they have their breaking point. The Soviet Union had its breaking point, and they were just, you know, sooner or later someone's going to walk in and point out the emperor doesn't have clothes on. They're going to pinprick the whole entire system. With some contradiction, there's so many, and I think white genocide is that contradiction. I believe
absolutely.
That.
And you know what's very telling? With Jeb Bush, you see even, you know, hardcore Republicans sitting there and
He got booed at CPAC for immigration.
Yeah, that's the thing. Today. People
I tweeted
are
that out.
Are slowly. People are slowly waking up.
You'll be amazed at what happened. You know, I got asked a question, what to do around friends and family. And friends and family are tricky, because if you tell your brother-in-law to see a movie, he probably won't see it, even if it's a great movie.
So no, you got you almost got to bribe them. Like, I'll pay for you and I'll buy you your popcorn.
Right. They don't do anything you tell them to do. So how do you go about this? How do you go about this around family? We go about it the same way. You seed memes. Talk about the anti-white narrative, the anti-White House, the anti-white proposition. I always say, you know, well, from the anti-white perspective. From the anti-white point of view. After about 6 months of little, and it sounds childish, well, you're saying the same thing over and over again and making points in a roundabout way in a conversation, because everything is anti-white. It's pretty obvious, pretty easy.
Yes.
Like Jeb Bush, he's anti-white. Well, what else could he be?
You know? Without a doubt.
And it becomes rather easy to point out, let's say Eric Holder just, you know, gave all these statements out this week, and Eric Holder's obviously anti-white. Most people understand that now. Even the hardest-headed of white people understand that Eric Holder's anti-white.
Correct. We have an anti-white.
Sure. Sure, but
it's hard for them. It's hard for them to wrap their head around how a white person could be anti-white. But when someone is pushing policies that are detrimental to you and your posterity, there's no other word that describes them other than an anti-white traitor.
They don't have problems with it. You just need to bring out the word traitor. It's like saying I'm an American, I can't be a traitor. Well, yeah, you can. You can sell us out.
Absolutely.
It's that simple. You know, but anyways, all you do is do that for about three to six months right now, and then, of course, you soften the core and you can go on to another thing. One, it just takes a little more time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with family it can be touchy, you know, because you have to see them all the time. You know, like you said, the best way to do it is, and like what I tell people, dissidents that aren't on message yet, is what we're doing is we're circumventing 50-plus years worth of brainwashing. That's what we're doing. It takes, would you say, 15 years to demoralize a society and 15 years for them to snap out of it? Is that right?
15 to 20, roughly.
You know, a lot of people, a lot of dissidents are still screaming, it's the Jews. Okay, we get it. But that's a trigger word. That's a gag reflex for a lot of people because they've been told for 50-plus years that Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. Israel is our best friend vis-a-vis Fox News. When that happens, when you scream it's the Jews, they see you dressed in a Waffen-SS outfit with a white hood and a burning cross strapped to your back running down the street. Yeah. This is what they see. You have to circumvent that. You've dropped them breadcrumbs. You let them know.
Bob's point about the Jews, and this largely misunderstood, is that you don't have to talk about the Jews at all to see memes anti-white or the memes white genocide. I will say this, though. In all my time doing this now, I have, in the past 6 months, had people say things or ask things about the Jews that I would never in a million years imagine. I have one of Dr. David Book's latest books about communism, which is a very good book. If someone, I'm talking like for conservative or for someone that's voicing a very controversial opinion right now, it would be a book to hand right. them. But that is a very recent phenomenon. I will only talk about, I'll always steer the conversation about, let's say, Coudenhove Kalergi, 1925, the plan for a mixed race in only Europe, or Barbara Lerner Specter, or anti-racist Hitler. Ask them if they've seen anti-racist Hitler, if they've heard of Barbara Lerner Specter. I always steer things back to white genocide, because one of the challenges is that, you know, I'm not here to write books like David Duke or Dr. Duke, God bless them, or, you know, but I will hand people with books on communism and stuff like that, the Red Book, you know, about all these different interesting characters. That's what they're interested in. But right now there's some amount of interest over that, but you can really get sideswipes into education and not seeding memes.
Right. And, you know, it's
and
funny.
And it can be counterproductive. If you're just seeding the meme anti-white and talking about white genocide and going off reading them from Dr. Duke's books, that's two separate things. You know, but right now there's a lot of interest all of a sudden. That's the way things work. You know, anti-Semitism is a funny subject matter. Once it starts, it doesn't stop. And it becomes absurd. All you have to do is research basic phrases on Twitter and you'll see the concern out there.
Correct. You know, I know why it never stops? Because it's a never-ending spiral of death. Yeah. These people who look, act, and sound like us, race hijackers, they don't stop. There's no end to it. It's since recorded history. You know, and it's funny that you brought up David Duke. Not that David Duke is the best way to talk to family members about this. But,
well, it depends on your family member. Depends. A lot of people are coming to conclusions from a variety of different standpoints. It may be Dr. Kevin McDonald's books. It could be something else entirely. I'm just giving an example. You got to really custom tailor things to your audience. So.
Yeah, no one person is the same. You have to go things. You have to go. You have to come at them at all different angles. You have to assess the situation before you even attempt to discuss anything with them. You have to kind of have a certain sense of foresight or clairvoyance. I know it sounds kind of silly, but you have to try to look a couple steps ahead. But speaking of David Duke, you touch on your last podcast that he got a lot more respect than he did the last time that he went on Bill O'Reilly. I think we are an aftershock of that. We are an effect of that. We're making it safe for white people to come out and talk about race. You want to have a conversation on race? Here it is.
If you seed memes, if you seed memes were like racist, you're probably going to make it okay for cultural Marxists and anti-whites to do whatever they want. If you seed memes like anti-white and white genocide, well, you're going to start rolling. White genocide, anti-white is honest enough, and white genocide is just honest and really brutally aggressive. And it's enough to start rolling them back. It's enough to start putting them on defense. It's like you at your office, you said the word anti-white, the guy's on the defense. That's what you have to have. You can't sit there getting clobbered week in, week out, year in, year out. That doesn't work. I think there's something to that. And on CNN was a very nice interview, I thought. They could always be nicer. I mean, compared to what he had last time he was on with Wolf Blitzer, and compared to O'Reilly is normally hostile to anyone that isn't licking the bootstraps of the Rupert Murdochs and stuff like that, which obviously Dr. Deuce is a far cry from that. He was outright respectful. If you look at his interviews 10 years from now, he was outright respectful.
Without a doubt. If you look at the years past, they rolled the red carpet out for him this time.
A little bit nicer. Change of tone.
I was stunned. I was absolutely stunned. I couldn't believe that he got a backhanded handshake.
A well-written, consistent, I wouldn't go that far, but a well-written, consistent message changes the whole entire paradigm. It doesn't matter whether it's a campaign or whatever you're trying to do. It changes the whole dynamics of the game, especially if it's well-timed, well-written, and if it's you start blasting it out. The broken record is a strategy that has never been beat. It doesn't matter if you yell lie over and over again like racist. I mean, white people are far cry from racist. Or ethnocentric at all, but if you yell it over and over again, it's not been beat. With the truth, God knows what you could do.
Correct, and like you said, it could be a lie, and you could repeat it over and over again. Ahmadinejad wants to wipe Israel off the map. Sean Hannity hammered that into millions of plus people, and people believed it. Ahmadinejad didn't say that. He said he wanted to wipe Zionism off the map. He didn't say he wanted to wipe Israel off the map. He lied, and it was a consistent message. If it's one thing that conservatives are good at is staying on message.
Neocons are. Conservatives, generally, they tap them in the line, but they're very good at seeding memes and staying on message over and over again. They might be very academic. Bob Whitaker's very academic, but they boil things down to eighth-grade memes. That's what you have to have. And, before we go too far, I just want to come back to the March Against White Genocide on March 21st. And speaking of seeding memes, just to want to get this guy out, this is sponsored by FightWhiteGenocide.com. There's all kinds of interesting graphics up there, and you can donate. You can donate $20, I believe it is, and get yourself a pile of goodies.
I've got mine.
$50 will get you even a bigger pile, but you can contact them, and they'll send you out a pile of goodies, one way, shape, manner, or form. All kinds of stuff to put out in a variety of different ways, or you can make your own. White Genocide Project is another such site, big one. White Genocide Project is one of the lead sites. White Rabbit Radio, we, of course, do mostly these days animations. We're producing animations. We produce podcasts. We're mostly digital media, online media. We are support staff on that day, basically, especially on social media. WhiteGenocide.info is another new site. There are all kinds of sites coming out with whitegenocide.info has also a lot of good graphics you could use. You could print it out on your printer and do whatever, print out a sign or rip off a graphic and do a sign or something. The sky's the limit on what you can do or how you can do
it.
And by all means, grab yourself a Twitter channel, take a picture, put it up, tweet it to one of us or tweet it out on your channel. We'll retweet it. Definitely use the hashtag white genocide.
Without a doubt, we'll retweet the heck out of it.
That's what it's all
you know,
about.
Speaking of, everybody knows White Genocide Project. I mean, by now, sure. that's a big site. But Fight White Genocide, wow, what a well-put-together site. I mean, the graphics on there, they're for everybody to use. Take them, use them, abuse them. Send them everywhere.
Yeah, FightWhiteGenocide.com is one of the newest. It's they're basically White Genocide Project writes a lot of great articles where they give you the real anti-white spin.
articles. I'll tell you, they really do a good job of disseminating and articulating the position.
Yeah,
it's phenomenal.
FightWhiteGenocide.com is basically all street activism. That's what you're going to get. You're going to get a lot of street activism. You're going to see a lot of signs, a lot of pictures, a lot of graphics. That's what it's kind of devoted to, my understanding is. But of course, they're all kind of in there together. White Rabbit Radio is mostly digital media production. WhiteGenocide.info is going more toward the street activism as well as dissemination of flyers and folders and graphics and that type of thing. And there's a whole slew of interesting characters on Twitter once you look up the hashtag White Genocide that are pro-white, that are out there, that are some of them online, some of them on street, some of them on the street, on their cell phone at the same time. So it's anything goes. It's anything goes nowadays, but get active in some way, shape, manner, form, and whatever tickles your fancy or whatever you can do. Whatever you can do on that day, the day before, day after. Maybe if you're busy on that day, do a couple days before. Put up your picture on that day. Whatever. Whatever. Whatever you're doing. Videos. Whatever. Get creative.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can't stress enough how important March 21st is. With the March Against White Genocide, that's one of our bigger pushes. We're going to try to make a collective push. We want to get our memes out there. We want to get pictures. If you have a drawing, if you have anything, if you have a video with action figures depicting white genocide, put it out there. If you can't do any of that, if you can't donate, just if you don't have a Twitter account, get one. Tweet the heck out of White Genocide.
Or
help
Facebook,
us get it trending.
You could also Facebook the hashtag White Genocide now. You can as well as Instagram the hashtag White Genocide. We are concentrating most of our firepower on Twitter because we have free speech there. Yours truly has been kicked off Facebook 24 times at a minimum. And they don't like me on Facebook, and every time we build a group, it gets kicked off. But Twitter, I've never been kicked off on yet, knock on wood. And we'll have all our assets deployed. And, you know, people always say, can you get a hashtag trending? Well, we have. Can we get one trending at will? Eventually, we'll be able to do that. I don't know if we'll be able to do that March 21st, but we will try.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've got a good shot.
The white man march was kind of funny because I looked over, I was one of the first to start releasing photos on Twitter. And what I did was I released ones I knew the anti-whites would go crazy over, like one in the bathroom stall or one on a pole in the middle of nowhere. And I knew they'd make fun of that, but that's you've got to understand how these guys think. They think they're smart. They're smart anti-whites. They're so slick. They're going to debate us. They're going to deconstruct this. And they're, look at these idiots putting, you know, diversity equals white genocide in a bathroom stall. They're doing all this slick stuff. All this stuff. Look at these stupid, evil Nazis doing this, you know, and they start Twittering, and they got the ball rolling, making fun of it. And once they
next
the
thing you know,
rolling,
they've contributed to a quarter of our tweets on it. You know?
Yeah, it's the gray goo. They rolled in the gray goo in a classic way, but, you know, really be creative in how you release stuff, in thinking, what is these anti-white idiots, what are they going to bite into? You see, you can make fun, you know, the conservatives at one time in somewhere like America or Canada made fun of all the communists and their terminology like racist and all this stuff. But the fact of the matter is they got their asses kicked. they didn't even know what happened to them. They got mowed over. They got annihilated.
And that's the reason that they're still silent on the topic of white genocide, because they know the second that they open that door that it's game over.
Yep.
You know, it's over.
That's definitely there. But, well, we're going to end it right there, guys. This is Asgardian. You can look him up on Twitter. What is your Twitter handle? Is @WarOWhites. @WarOWhites, Asgardian. And you can see him all under the hashtag White Genocide, and he will be active. He is active on there all the time. I retweet all kinds of stuff from him, and And we appreciate you coming on here, Asgardian, and telling us your story, and we'll definitely have you back again. And definitely, you guys, get over to fightwhitegenocide.com. Look at White Genocide Project as well, whitegenocide.info, all the different sites. You can find them on our particular down the right of White Rabbit Radio, you will find all kinds of pro-white sites, but all the ones with the White Genocide in it are our sisters and little brother sites and big brother sites in some cases. But you guys get over there, get your graphics out, and get on Twitter and get on Facebook and get creative, basically. Get out on the streets, get creative, and we'll see you on March 21st.
Absolutely. March 21st, March Against White Genocide. Horace, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure to have you on. We'll definitely do it again, Asgardian.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Be safe, and March 21st, March Against White Genocide. Remember.
White Rabbit Radio.